Good morning, everyone. Again, those of you that are way over on that side may want to move over here because we're going to be sitting down for this. I don't want y'all not to see us. Anyway, it is so good to be with you. I'm Barbara Anderson, very grateful, Al-Anon, and I thank y'all. Thank you all for being here. If we plan it, they'll come. That's kind of been Dick and my theme lately. I'm so grateful to be back here. You know, it's been 3 years, and if it's anything like, if the last 3 years are anything like mine, all of us have been through a lot. I don't think any of us have not grieved. Dick is going to share on Sunday all the people that were close to Woodstock that we've lost, but we've lost some significant people. And when I started thinking about what we might want to do for this session, gratitude just came to the forefront for me. I will tell you, I'm grateful that Sonia shared a little bit about the butterfly meeting. Those of you, in 2007, we had our very first Woodstock, and we had it down at Callaway Gardens. And we planned that after the opening session, which was the butterfly meeting, we would all go to the butterfly house. And they had a butterfly house at Callaway Gardens, and we did that together for the 2 years we were down there. And through several circumstances, we ended up moving here. And they don't have a butterfly house here, but we still have a butterfly meeting. My sponsor of many years was actually at the World Service Conference when they voted on the symbol for Al-Anon, and she had many prototypes of the butterfly because she was a butterfly person. That was her vote. And then we had the triangle and the circle, and there was also a coffee cup, okay? So at least we're not the coffee cup. So or the scorpion, Bobby. anyway, this week I was thinking a lot about this time of year, and in thinking of the program and the growth that has happened for me during the time that I have been here. And my very first year as a bride in 1984, y'all are going to start figuring out how old I am now. My husband and I went to a Thanksgiving retreat down in St. Simons. And the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, just a few days from now, a number of years back, we went to a dinner. And at that dinner was Dr. Bell, wherever Mildred is right now. He was there, Joe Persh, Hal Marley, who was considered the doctor of the attitude of gratitude, Conway Hunter, William Farley, Father Martin, Geraldine Delaney, who started a program that later on I would work for, and Dr. David Smith. And I was just amazed. These forefathers of the addiction industry were all together, and Dick and I, and I poked him at one point. I said, how did we get invited to this? And he said, I don't really know. And so, actually, Conway was his sponsor at the time. And at that point, they were talking about writing a book together. But I remember just those wise men that, you know, put all of them in recovery who were, I think all of them have passed now, who were the forefathers of the addiction industry and the 12-step treatment process, which has gone away over the years, which I'm very sad about. But I remember we left there, and me, a rejected seminary graduate, I told my husband as we left, I said, I'm going to do that. And he kind of laughed at me, and he said, okay. And I didn't really know how those words would stick. But later on, I spent 33 years working in that field. And I'm so grateful, you know, that even in the beginning when I didn't know anything and certainly didn't know how to live it, Hal Marley taught about the attitude of gratitude and how living in an attitude of gratitude made all the difference. And Lynn and I are going to share the mic back and forth, and I'm going to pass it to her.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Linda Bazans, and I am very grateful today and very grateful to be a member of Al-Anon. Sonia, thank you. I don't know why I'm so emotional today. I know it's some of it's nerves. And then I go to, am I nervous enough? This is just, speaking is not my favorite thing, but doing this with Barbara is. So just so grateful today. I've given a lot of thought to the idea, since we, you know, chose this wonderful subject of gratitude, about my gratitude and the things that I treasure and that I am so pleased and happy to have in my life. And, of course, they're because of Al-Anon. And in my case, I came to Al-Anon, I was 21 years old. I wasn't married. I didn't come for the right reasons, but I don't think there's many who do. Most of us come to treat our alcoholics and make everything okay again and save them. I didn't come for exactly that reason. I came to make him behave. And I thought I'd give it 4 months. There was something magical about 4 months. It was better than 3 months, and you'd think I really had given it a shot. And then when I left, you would say, well, she tried hard. You know, she really tried. I am so grateful that I didn't quit after 4 months. I don't know what I would be like without this program. I have an idea. You know, from It's a Wonderful Life, I would be Mary, the librarian, running away or afraid, because by my nature, I'm a person who used to see the glass half full, half empty, excuse me. And my mother was a worrier, and she had reasons to be a worrier. She taught me well, I don't know, or I adapted well. But I'm a person who can get really caught up in how things should be or how they're going to be. Too much fear. And because of this program, I'm still a worrier, but it doesn't interfere with my life in the same way. I have to still curb it. It's not something that just went away. It's my default. But when gratitude comes in, God comes in. And when God comes in, everything changes. The whole circumstance has hope, and it has positivity, and it changes. So whenever I get down or something is happening that is really bothering me, and usually it has to do with my family, that's the first place that worry will come into. I just take a deep breath and I say the serenity prayer. And I go to gratitude. What am I grateful for here? Well, my family. I have a family. We have a lot of love in our family. Is it perfect? Of course not. I'd love to meet the perfect one. But we care for each other. And we all have aspects of the program working in our lives, all of us, especially the children, even though two of them aren't involved in AA anymore, they've been taught well. And one of the things that always happens is if one of us gets into an argument with the other one, within almost 20 minutes I can look at my watch and I'm either calling them or they're calling me. You know what? I was really out of line here. I really regret what I said. Let's replay this. What is that a result of? It's a result of the fact that I married a man who was alcoholic, and I was led to these rooms because of that, and led very unwillingly. I did not have a good attitude, but I was given the gift of love by all of the Al-Anon members that I met. And even though I don't think I loved them very much, it isn't that I didn't like them. I just didn't want to be there. I didn't aspire to be an Al-Anon as a young girl. But I was given the gift of the program. And So whenever I get upset about something, I just try to go to gratitude. And after I say the serenity prayer and take some deep breaths, which is breathing God in and breathing fear out, I go to a place that gratitude allows me to bring God in more substantially and to get out of my own fear. I get in the way of me. Most of the time, it's more about my getting in the way than the problem getting in the way. I can exacerbate the problem by worry. It's amazing how I can still do that so beautifully. But I have tools now, and they come readily to hand. When I get goofy, I don't stay goofy real long, because I have tools, and I have a God who loves me, and I have, I guess, the ability to get out of my own way. And that's the gratitude that allows me to stay with you and allows me to feel whole, well, and excited about life. You know, I really don't want to miss a moment of this life. I have given probably a good 40 years up to worry. Don't you think that's enough? I mean, come on. I don't want to give today up. That's why this morning I thought, I'm just going to sort of see where God wants us to go. And then, of course, I go, oh, my God, I'm not prepared enough. And I didn't, oh, that was a mistake. And it wasn't. You know, I knew that I'd be surrounded by friends and here with my darling Barbara, who I love so much. What could go wrong? And so I again took some deep breaths and I said the third step prayer, because I'm always the one who's in the way. So for today, I am grateful to be here. My goodness, after COVID, there's so many in the room that we just keep sort of hugging each other and winking at each other and smiling at each other, because we've been seeing each other on Zoom. And Sonia was referring to a meeting that I attended in Cabo, Mexico, and it meets at 11 o'clock in Cabo. Well, it hasn't met for 2.5 years. I think right now there's only one person in the group that's actually in Cabo. 2 days ago there were two because I was there. But we get to meet and we get to be together. But now we're face to face. And hopefully we're going to all stay well, enjoy every single meeting, every single moment. But I live my life on purpose. I think if you live it on purpose, you've got a better chance of being present for every moment. You know how when we're kids, we sort of spill something. I didn't mean to do that. Well, I mean to do things. And one of them is to celebrate every single moment. That is a gift that Al-Anon has given me. I don't think I would be in this place. I know I would have found my relationship with God in maybe another arena, because I was given the gift of God as a child. I wouldn't be without that. But I don't think I'd be as happy, as joyful, and as free. And for that today, I am extremely grateful.
Thank you, Linda. Linda and my friendship was born at the very first Woodstock. Bob and Linda and Dick and I were in the expedition we had at the time, and we almost fell into a creek. The sign said, turn your headlights off, and kind of ran off the road and at a bridge, and we were hanging over, and right at the point, if you ever went through the light show at Callaway Gardens, where the frog jumped. And we heard the frog jumping over and over and over again. croaking. a couple of very nice ladies came along and offered to take...
And
It was cold. Very cold, yeah. A couple very nice ladies came along and offered to take Linda and I on, and Bob and Dick decided to stay there to see if someone would come along and help, and they finally did. These very two nice ladies offered to drive us through the rest of the light show and out of the park back to the hotel, but they had the back windows down. So by the time we got out of the park, we were icicles and very good friends. So and our friendship has grown and grown. I don't know if Bob rolls his eyes when Linda and I talk on the phone, but Dick occasionally does, because we occasionally talk for over an hour and almost every day. And I'm very, very grateful for that. I think about the last 3 years since we were here together, and when I first heard about COVID, I remember my first initial, that fear part of my brain that I can go to. I was living in a connex, you know, in isolation from everyone, in some kind of containment camp. I mean, that's where my head went to when I first heard about it. I don't know why. It's just that fear part of my brain. And I'm very grateful I don't have to live there anymore, or in the connex, but I knew that I wasn't going to make it through without staying in the moment and in gratitude. Some of y'all know this, some of you don't, but very short after all the COVID stuff happened, Dick got very ill, and initially we thought he had COVID, but he didn't. He had strep in his abdomen, and in some ways it was worse. Had emergency surgery, and he was in a hospital where nobody could come to see him, and all the healthcare professionals that came to see him were in hazmat suits. So he really had no human contact for the month he was in the hospital. And again, I had that phone call that if there's anybody he wants to say goodbye to, he probably should. And that was the third time. I kid him that he's a cat. And I think if I calculate right, I think he has four lives left. But anyway, we're just so grateful to be here. And I remember, you know, I was isolated alone at my house, and I remember watching, it was springtime, and I really watched flowers open every day. You know, how much more had they opened? You know, when you're alone and don't have a home, and watched the trees budding, and each day see how much more they had bud, and saw things I just really had never seen before in that kind of way. Watched the colors pop and watched the beauty of our world in a way I never had. And I had long ago really learned how to focus on the moment and looking for God in the moment, but really not as much as I did during this process. Gratefully, Dick is better. He's still got some health stuff, but, you know, we're here, and one day at a time, he keeps on kicking, and I try to, too. But it's miraculous when we really can focus on today. You know, waking up and living my life anticipating God's gift in today, and there's always one there. You know, when I think about my life before Al-Anon, you know, I came to Al-Anon, and I came because Dick and I were dating, and he told me you never date anybody unless they were in Al-Anon, and so I came to Al-Anon for all the wrong reasons. I came to manipulate him into marrying me, and I came because I really thought all the people in Al-Anon really needed me, and that I could help y'all a lot, and I didn't see that there was going to be all that much benefit to me, but you know, it would help y'all. And so I came, and as I said, you know, I was a grand total of 6 months in when I met Hal Marley and his attitude of gratitude. It sounded good, but, you know, what did that mean to me? But all those little things started to mount up. You know, one of my first sponsors, the first time somebody told me to go make a gratitude list, I said, well, that sounds interesting, but it's helpful. You know, if you're having a bad day, there's always somebody else out there that's having a worse day. and stopping and counting my blessings. The White Christmas has a beautiful little song called Count Your Blessings in it that Rosemary Clooney sings. And I watch that movie every year just to see her sing that song again. You know, count your blessings instead of sheep. It is an easier way to go to sleep. But one step at a time, this program started to come true in my life and blossom in my life, and gratitude took hold. Sometime, I had so much fear when I first came to Al-Anon that I didn't even recognize I had. You know, I grew up and my grandmother was actively alcoholic, and I spent 3 days a week with her. I didn't realize how much of fear I had. I couldn't even tell my mom and dad what my life was like at grandmother's, you know, and so I had no idea how to do that. Sometimes I make a faith list, and I just list all the things I have faith in. I have faith in the chair I'm sitting in right now because I'm not afraid it's going to collapse while I'm sitting here. You know, I have faith in this mic because Lee's running the sound. You know, I have faith that if we have this event, somebody will come. You know, there's, you know, all those little things that we begin to, and all those little things, just counting up and looking at faith is also, and underneath all that is gratitude. But it took me a while to figure that out. But making those faith lists have helped me a lot. And I'm going to let Linda share one.
Whoops. When you said that about the faith list, I started thinking about, it all goes back to gratitude, but how lucky I feel to be blessed with a family that, it's a good family. We have a good family. I mean, and the family that I have found in this program. I mean, I'm an only child, so I don't have brothers and sisters, but I have a feeling that I would be a lot closer to many people in this fellowship than I would be maybe to my brothers and sisters. We share something that is so profoundly unique. It's the language of the heart. It's the language of love. But I don't know. I was just thinking about my wonderful husband. And how grateful I am for the fact that we're still together and alive. The older you get, the more that gives such a precious gift. And then we can come here and be with all of you. And we just got back from Mexico. And we had a wonderful 2 weeks there. We were quarantined for I think really seriously quarantined for about 7 months, where we really were, our kids were just crazy that we were going to get it, and so we had to get shipped. So we had food shipped, or not shipped in, but, you know, delivered, and I finally said enough of that. I have at least to go to the grocery store once in a while. But, you know, we got along. We got along together. It would be horrible to be quarantined either alone. Hopefully you'd have a pet. I mean, really. Or to be quarantined with someone who you didn't like and you couldn't get along with and you didn't respect and they didn't like you. We won't share that from the mic. But how lucky. And then we made it through COVID. The things that I'm grateful for, I never dreamt I would be grateful for 2.5 years ago. You know, when they told us about when we were hearing it all, you know, about COVID, I thought, oh, this will last 2 or 3 weeks. I was so out of it. And then when I really realized how long it was going to last, I got really scared. And this is just because of my history, and I didn't even know my grandpa. But he died in 1918 at age 36 from that flu that killed all the people. What did I say? Wrong date? 1818, yeah. 1918. I have a little dyslexia when it comes to numbers. And he was 36 years old, and he left my grandma with five kids, 12 to 2. My mother was 10. And then I got really scared about COVID because I started thinking about, oh, my God, my grandpa died, and he was only 36 years old. And it was a pandemic. And then again, what comes in and takes over with that, going back to God and going back to gratitude, and gratitude to have a warm house. We never missed a meal. I got really tired of cooking, and I kept saying how grateful I am that I can cook. How grateful that I am that I have the food here that I can prepare. And that works. That works. But this program, it's the 12 steps are so profound, and they can be used in all the arenas of our lives. When I first started speaking, I was just absolutely petrified. And I had a sponsor who was also a butterfly lady, Marcy W., and I know Polly knew her. And she said, you know, precious, I was always precious. Precious, you can use the steps for things other than what you use them for. And she said, you can use them for your fear of speaking. And I, well, how? And she said, well, first of all, you admit that you're powerless and that you're just overwhelmed with fear. And because of it, the situation is very unmanageable for you. And then you can go to step two and you can look at how crazy it's making you. And you know that God can restore you to saneness and wholeness and wellness and sanity. And then you turn the situation over to God. The whole thing. You turn the outcome over. You turn the speaking over. And then you get down on your knees and you look at your character defects. And the one that always popped up was pride. I want to look good. I want to do it well. I want you to like me. It was always pride. I could never, ever not answer the word pride when it came to looking at my defects. And then you just turn it all over. You turn it over to God. And you tell someone else you're afraid. And you get down on your knees again and you give it away. You give it away. And I'll tell you, I do step 1 through 5 on all sorts of, even going to the dentist. I mean, things that just I have no control over, but I know that the fear is going to get in the way. And it's good. I mean, if you have to go or you have to speak or you have to, why suffer twice? Which is what I was always doing. So these steps are a way of life that I don't know what I would be like without them. And I don't have to find out. I've been given the gift of the program. I've been given the gift of, most of the time, peace of mind. And so my gratitude one more time is profound. You wanted to do something with the steps, didn't you? Your turn.
Okay.
I'll give you a little segue.
Okay. First of all, I'm grateful that for family recovery and that for all the families that come to Woodstock together, and how important this is to family recovery in general. And I think because it's made so much difference for me that I live with someone that also works a program. I'm not even sure we wouldn't have killed each other if it hadn't been for AA and Al-Anon, but I'm very grateful for all the programs given me. Think today about anything that you're struggling with. If it's a fear, if it's a self-pity, if it's a challenge with your health, if it's a circumstance. And honestly, gratitude can be the solution to almost all of our ills if we let it be. When you think about the first step, admitting we're powerless over whatever that situation is and our lives are unmanageable, you know, looking at the solution to that being gratitude. Living your life, whatever it is that we're powerless over, we really are powerless over. We cannot fix it. You know, glass half full, glass half empty. I'm sure Alan and I was always a glass half empty person, but I'd rather look at what I have on hand. Whatever that situation is today, what do you have to be grateful about it in that situation today? And we come to believe that our power greater than ourselves, whatever you choose to call that power, I'll choose to call that power God, come to believe that God can give us a spirit to get through it, you know, and we can give it over to God and leave it there because we're not going to be able to fix it anyway. We don't have the power. So why not be grateful for what we have? And making that decision, not just coming to believe, but making that decision that, okay, I'm going to let go of this situation because my management of it is not all working all that well, and I'm not going to be able to change it anyway, and so I'm going to leave it in God's hands. I'm going to give it to God, and I might as well focus on what gift God may give me today. You know, I mean, those gifts may be tremendous, or they may be little. It may be a sunrise or a sunset. It may be, you know, my dog playing in the yard. It might be a beautiful flower, but it could be all the hugs that I got yesterday from people I love so much and I have not seen. You know, it might be, you know, a new situation financially to take care of bills and overhead and whatever else. It could be many different things, but those gifts are there. And living life knowing that each day is going to bring us one is a whole lot easier to do if we've taken what's bowing us down so much and given it to the God of understanding because we can't fix it anyway. And then I make an inventory of myself and see what's holding me back. What's holding me back from living a life where I actually enjoy my life? You know, for a long time, this was how I woke up in the morning. Well, I got to get up. Well, why do you have to get up? Well, if you don't get up, you might lose your job. Well, what would happen if I lose my job? Well, if I lost my job, eventually I'd be out on the street. Well, what would that be like? If I was out on the street, I'd probably be pushing a grocery cart and living under a bridge. And I would get up in the morning because I didn't want to be living under a bridge pushing a grocery cart. Not because I anticipated anything about that day, you know, and it was not a particularly great way to live. If I roll out of the bed and think, God's going to have a special gift for me today, I wonder what it's going to be. If that's my first thought, now I won't tell you I'm 100% perfect on this, but I really do try to roll out of bed thinking, what kind of gift is God going to give me today? You know, and making that inventory, I really had to look at what was keeping me back from living an abundant life, a life filled with gratitude and love. And admitting that to somebody else, having friends, having sponsors, having people that you trust in the program that you can talk about what's going on and when you need to let something go. Instead of letting it bow you down, you can share it and it's gone. You know, admitting to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, what are those things that are keeping us back from living a abundant, gratitude-filled life? And then we admit what our character defects actually are. What are those things, that fear voice that pops in my head all the time, you know? And we look at those character defects and we turn them over to God again in a different way. I don't really want to keep, you know, living a life that is based on stress and fear. And then sometimes we're struggling with living a life based on gratitude because, you know, we really we have a situation in our life, a person in our life, a job, something where we owe somebody an amend. You know, if you're going to bed at night thinking about somebody you hate or you want to get even with them or whatever it is, then you're probably holding on to a resentment you need to let go of, or you're not going to be able to live that happy, free life, you know? when resentments can take over our life, they can keep us from sleeping, they can keep us from functioning, they can certainly keep us from a life filled with gratitude and joy. And then as we learn, as we actually make any amends we need to, as we correct whatever behavior is holding us back, the freedom to live a different way comes in. The point that I think I really began to learn this lesson the most was the year that my mom and dad died 10 days apart. Our 18-year-old Norwegian Alcon, who was my first dog, Boo, who's with us this weekend, is my fourth dog. But Booger Bear had probably went to more conferences than most of y'all did. I mean, he just went everywhere with us, and he taught me a lot about unconditional love. We lost him, my mom and dad. Dick was diagnosed with esophageal cancer, which at that point had a 1% survival rate. His mom died. He had his surgery. He lost his ability to work for about 3 or 4 years at all, and we lost our home. So it's not a country western song yet, although I'll challenge you, Sonia. Anyway, but that was too much to live with, you know, it's kept on snowballing. So instead of focusing on that, I just started living life looking at what kind of gift God was going to give me today. One day at a time. I remember when I first heard "One Day at a Time," I said, well, what's the deal with that, you know? But it's such an easier way to live. It really is. And we actually get to live. If you live in today, you're not living in the resentment of yesterday or the fears of tomorrow. You're just living in today, and you're rejoicing in that. And then, you know, in 10, 11, you know, we continue to look at anything that's keeping us from living that way, and we continue to thank God for allowing us to see that we really are having gifts from the God of understanding every day. And then we get to share that with others. I mean, the steps work with everything, but they certainly live in helping us move on to a more connected way of living the steps. You know, the steps are a whole lot about alcoholism, I know, you know, or having grown up in alcoholism for those of us in this room. But if you're not living abundantly, if you're not living a happy life, if you're not living a grateful life, there's some more blessings in the steps that you haven't discovered yet.
Thank you. Yeah, if you're not living a abundant life, you gotta change. You gotta move on. Because we're all God's kids, and God wants us all to be happy and have the we have it all around us. We just have to claim it, and that's what this program has taught me to do: to claim what is there for me, and to see everybody as my brother and sister. And I really want you to know that is starting to change for me. I'm really seeing that coming to pass in the last years. I've been, whoever I see, if I have a negative thought, I think, well, no, that's my brother, or no, that's my sister, and that's really making a difference. When I think of gratitude, I know that they're not connected, but for me they are. It's acceptance. I have to accept what I have. And that's living in the day. Staying in the day that God has given me and accepting it and enjoying it. Not wanting to change it. Not wishing it were different. And different is my way. Different is when I want it changed, I want it changed my way. And the best part of that is if you like it and you want to do it for me, then we're all happy. And I mean that. That's not a joke. I would love to get my way, and you like to do it. Perfect. Guess what? Sometimes that happens, of course. But the problem with that is having the expectation of that. That's the problem. I remember many times I would say to Marcy, my sponsor, well, he's just not doing it the way I want him to do it. And she said, well, did you tell him? Well, of course not. If he loves me, he's going to know, and he'll... Can you imagine how many years that got me in trouble? She said, you're not giving him the script. If you want him to do what you have to tell him what you'd like to have happen. I found that very difficult. I just wanted him to know. If you loved me, you would know. Maybe that's being an only child, because my parents did that for me. They knew, and I was spoiled. But acceptance is so important to me. Accepting what's showing up and then embracing it. Living a day at a time. That's acceptance. When we were at this conference, it was from Sandy B., and you and I did a panel with two other people, I believe, on acceptance. And when we got done, Sandy said to me, we were going to have lunch together, a bunch of us, and he said, I want to talk to you a little bit about that acceptance. And I said, sure. And he said, if you were working 8 hours a week, and you were making X numbers of dollars, and your boss called you in, and he said, or she said, you're only going to have to work 40% of the time, and I'm going to double your salary. Would you feel like you had to accept that? And honestly, I asked him to repeat it, because I didn't get it right away. And he repeated it, and I said, wow. I used the word acceptance around things that I didn't like. But when something great happened, I was getting my way, I was pleased, and I didn't have to accept it. What he said was, we have to change the way we view things so everything comes along. We just naturally accept it because it's what is God's will for the day. And acceptance has a different meaning, and it does have a different meaning to me today. I don't just say it around things I don't like. He just flipped it for me. But when you listen to people, and maybe yourself will admit, you only use the word when it's something, well, I guess I'll just have to accept that. That was the way I framed it. Gratitude has changed that too. So if whatever comes up for it during the day and I don't like it, I have an opportunity of being grateful for the opportunity that it offers me. If it's something that I have to adapt to, be kind about, change my attitude about, that's an opportunity for me to grow, and that's an opportunity for my higher power. Now, I'm telling you, sitting up here holding the mic, it's easier to tell you about that than when the opportunity comes many times. And my reaction to the opportunity is not quite as gracious as I might sound. But I still have the idea of doing that. And when you have the purpose of doing something, you have a better chance of it happening for you. And I never had that purpose before. Never. If I didn't like it, I was upset, and I wasn't always very gracious.
That reminds me of, I don't know if you've ever given somebody a gift and they haven't received it before, but I've probably given thousands of gifts over the years, but I remember the one significant one that wasn't received. I had an administrative assistant who was working with me as well as my boss, and she didn't really like that she was having to work with me, and I had gone off on a few days away, and I came back and I gave her a little present. It was a little Cocopelli statue. I had been out to Arizona, and instead of opening it, she threw it at me. And she said, "You can't buy me with a gift." And so I took the little present back to my room, a little shocked. And I opened it up and I put it on my desk. And I thought about, you know, I remember one of the early times when I spoke, I would like tell everybody I did wrong, you know. You know, somebody, "Oh, I love what you said." And I said, "Well, I should have said this or that," or I did. And I would argue away why it really wasn't good enough, you know. And I was a piano major, and I, you know, people would, and when I would do a recital, you know, someone would come and tell me, I loved your recital, and I'd tell them everything I did wrong. And so even accepting compliments, I never really thought about that, that not accepting someone's compliment is like giving their gift back to them. And so I thought I had never done it until I was talking to a friend of mine who said that to me. We have, and Linda mentioned, and you know, not you know, sometimes the gifts don't feel all that great. You know, I don't. Dick and I've really struggled financially, you know, since his cancer. But we've never gone without a roof over our head. We've never gone without food. We've never, you know, we've never gone without clothes on our back. I can tell you that we've had to go to a food bank several times. You know, I never thought I would have to do that. We've had to ask for help. And learning how to do that is not necessarily easy. But I've learned things that have already helped other people. You know, a lot of people struggle and are afraid to ask for help. So sometimes those gifts we think are not something we really want can be. And they might not be what I would think of as my gift of today, but I tell you, they sure can be when I find out that there's an agency that can take care of my power bill this month. You know, I mean, it's there's some pretty exciting gifts that I've had over the last, you know, few years, and gratefully, it's not always that way, but it's amazing. It's amazing what God can do for us when we really start to see that those gifts come from God every day.
It's all about the attitude that we bring to the day. And it's all about getting out of our own way, for me. How many of the steps are about, and in the program, are not my will, but thy will. It's all over. The books are just peppered with getting out of the way and bringing an attitude of joy and gratitude to each and every day that we have. I had a little trick that I used to use, and it used to be a little bit funny, but now it's not as funny. When I would be really down about something, I would go into a prayer, and it would start off with, "I got out of my own bed this morning. It was a dry bed. I was able to choose the clothes I was going to put on my back, and I was able to put them on and go about my day." And you know what? When I got done with that last sentence, I was out of the pity party that I had brought into the day. And now that I'm getting older, those are really nice things to be able to have. I am so grateful for the fact that they still pertain to my life. And I can still put my own clothes on, and I can still walk to where I want to go. So it's about the attitude, it's about getting out of the way, and it's about bringing God in. And it's about being grateful. I am so grateful to be here with you. I am so grateful to be here with all of you. And that's really all I have to say, is thank you, God, for this wonderful opportunity.
And I'll just say that I thank all of you for starting your Friday morning of the conference with us. I encourage you to look for all those gifts that will come your way today. And I thank you for all the miracles that you've been for me. And we will close our meeting.